Just a brief note before this episode starts. There are some audio issues. We recorded over Skype, and I didn't make everybody record their own audio because I'm a damn fool. But hopefully you can fight your way through it. Won't be making that mistake in the future. Other than that, we're back.
We're going to the game.
You know what? I don't want to play defense. Are you kidding me?
Boys, game noon.
What the hell's going on? You're playing it safe. A brick. It's amazing. No way in hell I'm touching it. Are you kidding? That was really fun.
Hello and welcome to the Sports Anomaly. My name is Adrian Todzinig. I'm your host, and I'm joined today by why? I like how it's a Freudian slip out of the gate saying why am I joined by these people? We've got Rich Grisham. Rich, say hello.
Hello, Todd. I just want to let you know before you get any farther that the reason that I'm working full time in the world of sports video games is because of you, sir. You. So I will be at the Sports Anomaly whenever, however this thing is recorded. It's awesome to be back.
This is so great to hear. And I'm also, well, say what you're doing with your life within the sports video game context. If somebody goes, oh, there's a reason. There is a why, after all.
Yeah, there is a why. So when the Sports Anomaly started, Todd, I did absolutely nothing in the sports video game business. I worked in the insurance industry. And then by the time I got to get onto the Sports Anomaly, because I had been dabbling in freelance writing, that sort of got me into the world of sports video game podcasting, which allowed me to start the Press Row podcast, which allowed me to meet the guys from Out of the Park Baseball, which allowed me to start working with them part-time. And then last year, I started working full-time. So that is the story. It's all because of this show, Todd.
That's
all
amazing. Well, that's why we took a 10-year hiatus, so we could make sure that everybody's path paid off. Because if we would have been gone 3 years, it would have been one thing. You know, seven, people are like, bleh. And also, I'd mentioned this in our short intro that we waited 10 years, so anybody that ever cared about this podcast had forgotten about it. So it felt right. And we're also joined by TJ Lowerman. Hello, TJ. Thank you for joining the podcast.
Hey, Todd. Very happy to be here. I follow the exact same path as Rich, except for part-time, not full-time.
All right. Well, give it another 10 years. You're going to be full-time. That's what's so exciting. And it'll be because of this podcast.
And don't forget, and the Anomaly Girls Madden League. Because without that, I would never know Rich.
Holy crap. It all just folds in on itself. We're definitely going to collapse under our own weight.
It's all from the show, Todd.
It's crazy. And so two things I want to start with at the top. So 7 years ago, I think it was 7 years ago, I started using my first name, which is Adrian. So it's funny to hear you guys call me Todd because I was hanging out with Susan Orlean, the author, one time, and she said that there's this line of demarcation in her life when people called her Susie and people called her Susan. So she always knows who knew her when. So you guys are grandfathered in. You can call me whatever, which is totally fine. And the second thing, just sort of why I brought this back, I was like, by the way, if anybody is listening at home, there's a thing called COVID-19. There's a coronavirus. And I was just like, man, every time I turn on Twitter, I'm both like so bummed out and sad. And also there were no sports to distract from that. And so when I was like, oh yeah, Sports Anomaly was the stupidest way to talk about sports. And by looping it into video games, it just gives you infinite possibilities to say dumb things about dumb things. So I don't know. It feels like a good justification. But the reason you guys are here, we'll get into it. But I thought for our first segment, we would do an all new segment, nothing like the original Sports Anomaly. Instead of love and hate, we're going to do hype and tripe. And what I'm hyped about is the reason you guys are here, which is Out of the Park Baseball 21 OOTP, as I have not called it yet, but I'm going to walk around the house and start yelling that. But my Cubs, when I wrote up this lineup, were 10-10. I think I'm now 19-21. And I just like, we'll get into why it's been so extraordinary, but that's definitely my hype. I am loving this game. It's a baseball. I mean, you guys can probably tell me what it is a little better than I can say it, but it's like, it's just so robust and fun. And also it's baseball and I'm obsessed with baseball. And every year I think about how much I love baseball and it fills me with glee. And now there is no baseball. So Rich, First, give me your hype, and then TJ, and then we'll come back around for the tripe, and then we'll talk about OTP.
So I hope I'm not stealing TJ's, but I'm afraid that I am. But I'm hyped for Super Mega Baseball 3. It's coming out in a couple of days, and it's the first couple of Super Mega Baseball games were spectacular fun. They were silly, but they were also really, really good. Just really good mechanics and really solid, fun new ways to play baseball, especially pitching. So that's my hype is Super Mega Baseball 3. TJ, I'm sorry if I took it from you.
Rich, you would have taken it from me, but obviously the real hype is for the Sports Anomaly podcast to come back and have Todd message me, aka Adrian, message me and get me on the show. I'm just happy that this is back to being a thing, and now it can be one of the, you know, like 90 unlistened to podcasts on my phone.
Yeah, I can't wait for that to happen. I don't care if you listen; I just care if you subscribe. That's my rule of podcast. Think thumb
just
at this point.
Just
get those download numbers. And by the way, in the intro, I said that Sports Anomaly was downloaded 77,000 times an episode, I think is what I said. But I fact checked, and I think it was 77,000 a quarter, which would have been about 6,000 an episode, which still feels great. But
it is
much different than 77,000. But yeah, so our goal is not to get to 6,100, it's to get to 6. So we'll see if we can bypass that. We want to keep modest goals. And then after that, we'll go to 6.1. But speaking about Mega Baseball, I never heard of it. And then because I was researching for this, I found it. And it seems to me a cross of like Yak 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 Baseball. I don't even remember what that was called. But whatever baseball game I've now forgotten the name of and Baseball Stars, because it's all fictional players. And there's all is that sort of your take on it?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It is a really beautiful baseball game, but these trappings are sort of big, you know, sort of over-the-top stadiums and really, you know, and I've talked about it at length before, you know, really different looking art style for players and things like that, right? So it's meant to be silly, and it's also, you know, men and women, you know, so there's no... You know, it's not trying to be quote unquote authentic in terms of representing, you know, a major league or something. It's just, hey, look, here's a whole crazy cast of funny looking characters put into these big, beautiful stadiums for a really well playing, but unique baseball game. It's not the show and it's not trying to be the show. But yeah, it's all fictional and you can create your own teams. And what I've done is I always create a team with all my friends on it. And then you play seasons and now they got a whole new deep franchise mode. So it's big and it's silly and it's bright and it's colorful. And it's the kind of game that the world could kind of use right now. Who doesn't want big, beautiful color, silly stuff?
Yeah, when I saw the trailer, and I watched actually like a 9-minute long thing. And I was just like, man, this just seems exactly what I want right now. And I don't need Javier Baez and I don't need Paul Goldschmidt. Like I'm fine with some goofball with some weird name. And I just thought it was fun. Okay. Now for the tripe of the week, and then we'll come back around to talk about OTP as I promised, but I'll start and I'll say the lack of social distancing in stadiums outside of Baltimore and the out of the park baseball franchise. I thought that didn't make sense. What I just said did not make sense. So I'm going to rephrase it. But when I was playing OTP, I played in Baltimore, and that was the only stadium where the fans socially distanced, and I really appreciated it because everywhere else the stands were packed because people wanted to see this team. But in Baltimore, there was nobody in the stands, and I was like, actually, that warms my heart. Like, that's what I want to see. I want to see people sitting 8 feet apart. Rich, what's your tripe of the week?
Man, my tripe of the week is just how people are reacting to the leagues trying to figure out a way back. We all want sports back. I don't think at this point any of us even care how, right? We don't need to be sitting in the stadiums watching it. We could be watching these players in a bubble. We could be watching them all play in Orlando. We don't know. We don't care. These leagues are just trying to figure it out. And I'm the tripe is how just without even, I think a lot of people even spending 5 seconds looking at it, there's just so much negativity that I see. Maybe I look in the wrong places from people who are just bashing the leagues for trying to come up with an idea. They're grasping for straws. They're trying to figure this thing out. Nobody knows what's going on. So that's my tripe of the week.
Yeah. It's a tough thing to watch. And it made me realize the one sport that can actually survive this is wiffle ball. And I've written a feature film that features, it would focus around wiffle ball that we're going to be refinishing because these things never end in the next 2 weeks. But I was like, actually, isn't that a selling point that people can actually go out and play wiffle ball? Maybe. TJ, what's your tripe? Bring it.
My tripe is a big one. It's very important in real life right now. It's people that walk around tracks clockwise instead of counterclockwise, and they never realize that, weird, I'm looking at the back of all these signs because everybody else is walking the right way, and I'm the idiot walking the wrong way. Very frustrating out there.
I guess I would never think to walk a track clockwise, but that's insane. I think you should... should try to touch those people and watch them run away counterclockwise.
Even in a Facebook post from like our town that was like, all right, we're going to reopen the park, and it's like their list of rules, like stay 6 feet away from people. And like rule number four was walk counterclockwise around the track. We understand that you people can't figure this out, but just walk the same way that everybody else is going.
That's fantastic. To be told, I mean, that's so great. That warms my heart. I'm going to make it my hype next week. Now, okay, now I want to talk about OTP, because first of all, here were my four takeaways from the game, and then we'll just talk about it generally. But first of all, I thought that it proved that the National League is more interesting than the American League, which I've always believed, but it's really confirmed it. And I want to hear you guys agree or disagree emphatically.
Agree. Well, disagreed. Oh, wait, no. I'm agreeing that the National League's more fun to play? Oh, I totally agree. Yeah. My bad. I agree. I'm a National League guy all the way. I've always felt myself superior to the lowlifes in the American League.
No, it's so sad. TJ, are you a National League guy all the way?
I'm a National League guy all the way. Except the problem in OOTP is I always take my pitcher out the inning before I should have or the inning after I should have.
I see. I mean, I find... people who argue, here's the problem, is that the American League seems to be a better league, like win-loss wise. But in terms of interesting, I don't know. And I hate that I would love to be an AL guy and be playing this and be like, oh, you know what? It actually is more fun to think about. When I do a double switch in that game, I feel like a god. I'm just like, I did it. It's the
you
best.
You just nailed it. It's the double switch. Like, I finally learned truly how to do a double switch because of, and only because of, out of the park baseball. The double switch makes me feel so good about myself.
Yeah. You think that's why people don't like it? Because they can't figure out the double switch?
I mean, AL people, let's be honest, they're not as, you know, they're not intellectual giants. So maybe, I think that's probably what it is. Here's the second thing I loved, which was it teaches you the value of a 300 hitter. That was huge for me. I feel like I know this stuff in some way, but like it really hit on me. I was like, when a dude is hitting 300, I'm like, man, I am earning it. Like, that is great. Agree or disagree emphatically. I don't know what there is to agree or disagree with emphatically. I'm just making points, but I'm building a podcast here, people.
Well, you know, in OTP, I'm always trying to figure out what's the stat that I want to look at to figure out if my guys are any good or not. You know, because I do a lot of live streaming, as does TJ, of Out of the Park Baseball, and I want to look like I'm a smart baseball guy. So I'm always sorting by WAR, maybe, you know, by OPS Plus, you know, just to make myself look like I'm, you know, your typical baseball renaissance man, where in reality, you know, I only understand batting average, home runs, and RBI, but I pretend to understand all that other stuff. So, you know.
Yeah. I've never understood anything but the basics. Like, I'm like an AL mind person about baseball when it comes to the evolve statistics. I just can't do it. And this, I'm glad we've had this chat, because now maybe it will force me to take on WAR and the other letters. What about you, TJ? Are you all about that 300 hitter? Or what has it taught you that you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm much more about just on base percentage.
Oh, wow.
As NL people, we're get them on, get them over, get them in. And the first part is getting them on. So, yeah. And I end up with a lot of guys that hit like 320, but with like a 350 on base percentage. I'm like, you should be a lot better or getting on a lot more if you're hitting that good.
Yeah. So just... yeah, for sure. That's interesting. Yeah. The third thing it's taught me is that it teaches you how hard it is to hit 40 home runs. Like, Wilson Contreras was bombing it out of the park. I think he has 8 home runs through the first 40-ish games. I think that's where I'm at. And he, like, when he hits a home run, I'm like, holy crap, he seems a homer a lot. And then I saw that he only had 8 home runs through 40 games. I was like, that's crazy. Anyway, that's my point. Now you guys can talk for as long as you want.
Yeah, I'm right there. I mean, out of the park is punishing. You know what I mean? Like, it's not the kind of game where if you just, like, you know, when Out of the Park 21 first came out, in the first couple of days, I'm like, all right, I'm going to sim a season with the Mets on live on stream. Mets are a good team, theoretically, right? Got the Cy Young Award winner, got the Rookie of the Year. I couldn't finish 500. It was terrible, right? Yeah. Out of the park, like, it puts you through your paces, and it makes you have to do what you have to do. And it is non-forgiving. So what I had to do, of course, was enlist smarter people than I to help me with the Mets, which is why Gus Ramsey and I do our Mets show every Friday night, because he knows baseball and he knows what he's doing. Not a clown like me. TJ knows what he's doing too, though, of course.
Yeah.
No, I just make it up all on the spot. I just make it up all on the spot. And that's why one stream I went an hour, and I think I went like an hour and a half, and I didn't even advance the day. I think it was like the Rule 5 draft. I signed 3 free agents, was trying to make 2 trades. And after an hour and a half, I looked up and I'm like, oh, I never made it to like October 19th. I've been on October 18th this whole time.
That's wild. Yeah, the last thing, and I'd be curious for you guys to talk about your favorite teams in relation to this. But the last thing, as a Cubs fan, I never would have thought that I would want to trade Kyle Schwarber, especially years ago. And now I'm like, if we traded him, I get it. But after playing this game, I'm like, I kind of want to hold down a doll version of him and just punch him in the face, because he's such a useless dingus. And like, it drives me crazy. Like, I think I've got him now hitting 211, and I think he has 3 home runs or something. So even his power, which is majestic, it's just not working. So it just drives me nuts. And I'm just like, oh, I would trade him, but I'm also playing just the manager mode, which might have been a mistake, but I wanted to come in low and easy. But man, I wish Jed Hoyer would step up and dump that guy and just get me something for him. But what value is he? Everybody figured out that he's not, you know, the Titan that we all thought he was going to be. Did you, and you're playing with the Mets, Rich?
Yeah, I'm playing with the Mets, and some guys are having really hot starts, and all that means is that they're going to fall off a cliff. Pete Alonso was probably the MVP in the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season. He's been hitting like 150 for the last 3 or 4 weeks. Somehow, some way, Gus Ramsey he's caused Robbie Cano to have like this major renaissance. I don't know how that's possible. Whenever I play with Robbie Cano, he goes 0-for-5, you know, and has 3.5 strikeouts. So, you know, there's some, you know, out of the park. It really has some players, some seasons that it likes and some that it hates. And, you know, it's going to do what it's going to do kind of no matter what you're going to do.
Yeah. That's pretty great. What about you, TJ? Who do you play with, and who would you dump in a heartbeat if you could?
I'm currently playing with the White Sox, because I never like to be my own team,
right?
As a Braves fan, because what I've noticed, like, as a fan, I love the, you know, the Cal Ripken Juniors, the Derek Jeters, the Chipper Joneses that play on one team for their whole career. But get me out of the park baseball, and I'm like, I'm going to trade literally everybody. I don't care who you are. I let Dallas Keuchel go in an expansion draft. I just traded for Anthony Rizzo, and I'll build like little fake rules for myself. Like, if a team in real life just gave someone a big contract, you know, I'll keep them for like a year or two, but then I'm going to move them to try to find someone new and better. So it's go ahead.
How is Jimenez doing? Eloy, is that his name?
Yeah, he's playing good. Juan Moncada has been playing really good. Luis Robert has been absolute trash in his first year for me.
Yet, Jose Quintana, the left-handed pitcher that was traded for Eloy Jimenez, is just like, I'm like, wow, what a great fourth starter. Cool trade. It makes me insane. So, yeah.
But I think that's something you have to do in Out of the Park is, and I assume real general managers have to remember, like, you have to think of the players just as players and not like the names. Right. That's always been like my big hang up. It's like, oh, I have Jose Abreu coming up. It's like, I should definitely keep Jose Abreu at whatever he wants. But then it's like, I look at his numbers and I'm like, I really don't want to pay this guy this much money for a long time. I'm hoping someone will take his money grand all off my hands at one of these days.
Oh man. That's the thing. It's, I guess the question I have for you guys is, do you just hit like the contact button, or do you take pitches a lot more than I do? Or what's your sort of, how do you just sort of play a single game?
Well,
silence.
Because it depends, because sometimes I'm doing these on my own where I'm sort of running things. And sometimes I, like with Gus, when Gus and I do the Mets on Friday nights, Gus is the GM and the manager. I'm just pressing the buttons and occasionally right. offering thoughts and advice. But like on the Big Rich Machine, which is Tuesday nights, you know, I do that with Alex. But Alex is the sort of the general manager, but I'm the game day manager making the decisions. I never hit pitch to contact. Personally, I'm super aggressive. I just go after guys. And like TJ said, I typically leave my pitchers in a few batters too soon, or leave them in a few batters too much. And I'm super aggressive. But I have gotten better with doing things like, double play depth, you know, and maybe overriding the computer doing that stuff. But I'm always pitch, you know, double play depth. I occasionally will hold the runner, but I don't usually do a whole lot of that monkeying around. But it's there for a reason, because I think the people who do monkey around with it have more success than I do.
Yeah, I've just started doing pull hitting and lining up the infield to double play depth and stuff. And I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Like now I'm starting to see failure and I'm adjusting to failure, because I'm also like, damn man, I'm two games below 500 and I really want to win. And when I blow a eighth inning lead, I'm just like, this is horrible. I feel it in my guts. And when I hit a ninth inning home run to win it and all that, like it really is an incredible game for that. It's just like you really get into it because it's so granular and you're. But it's so accessibly, I don't know. Everybody should play it, because it will help you kill an hour, which is probably what your commute was. So then you can just fill it in with baseball. But yeah, anything to add, TJ, before we move on?
Nope, I'm the same way. Mainly, I just do my defensive adjustments and pitch.
I like it. I did hit back-to-back-to-back home runs once, and I was just like, this feels amazing. So definitely check out the game. Now we're going to move on to the latest. It used to be known as breaking news, and it will return to breaking news because it's super fun to go breaking news. Okay. So Lamar Jackson apparently is going to be the cover athlete of Madden NFL 21. He sort of spoiled their whole campaign, I guess, by mentioning on some Ravens podcast or some radio show. Had to pick a different cover athlete, who would you put on there?
Ooh.
TJ. Oh, yeah. TJ, you go first. Because I know Rich is expecting to go first, and I'm just throwing curveballs and throwing yackers all over this podcast. Yeah. Who knows what's going to happen next?
Interesting. Great question. And I definitely heard the breaking news when you said it before.
You'll also notice that there's construction suddenly going on outside my window, so it feels like they're getting involved by hitting the tapping walls. Anyway, so that's what that is, and I'm just gonna act like it's not happening. So moving on, TJ, shoot.
I'm gonna have to go with who's good in football. Someone with New Jersey. Let's go with that Tom Brady guy. They got New Jersey in Tampa Bay. He's on a new team. He was on the cover last year.
Yeah, he could be the first two-time back-to-back boring choice. I condemn you to the cellar of shame.
But that's perfect, because it's as boring as Joe Mauer on back-to-back MLB The Show covers.
Oh, man, that was one of the lamest decisions ever made.
Oh, if you think that's lame, wait till you hear my answer. My answer is Pat Mahomes right back with his giant Super Bowl ring and taking up 75% of the cover. Like Madden curse, here's your Madden curse. There is no Madden curse. It's dead and buried. I am the champion. And by the way, he happens to be by far the best player in football. So seems like that's what you should do.
That is, I totally think that's lit. Oh yeah, it wouldn't have been back to back because Tom Brady was 2 years ago. But Mahomes, I'm playing in an online league, and we were just sort of shoving people in divisions. We didn't have enough people. If you want to be in one of our online leagues for Madden, we're going to try to figure out some FIFA stuff. But Madden's the easiest one for us to get in right now. Email me, adriantodzaniga@gmail.com. We'll start with that. But I ended up with the Chiefs, And Patrick Mahomes can run full speed towards the sideline and deliver a missile like right into the corner in the end zone, right on the spot. He's amazing.
Yeah, but
so
that's can he do that in the choice. Game? Can he do that in Madden? Because I see him. No, I know. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Nice. Lamar Jackson's the right choice, but I think Christian McCaffrey is an interesting choice just because I don't know how long running backs will last, and he seems fun. But yeah, I guess I don't know. It's a lame question. Here's another thing that I found out is happening in the sports game world. WW 2K21 was canceled. I'm not a big WWE fan, but did I say WWA? I don't know what I said.
We knew what
I
you
think
guys
even are. Skipped a letter, but
yeah. But apparently they've canceled that game, and because apparently the preceding one was such a disaster. But if you want to know sort of the state of, and I don't want to crap on a game. That's not what we're here for. Every once in a while it will be. But WWE 2K20, look up WWE 2K20 glitch compilation on YouTube. It's like 2 minutes, but sadly it will bring joy. I don't, you know, all the game developers, I understand how hard they're working, but that's pretty fantastic. Yeah.
But I think you can run a big strip of bacon in that game. So I don't know why it wouldn't be good.
Is that true?
Yeah, I think it's a strip of bacon, or maybe it's a Slim Jim. I'm not sure what it is.
That's amazing. I mean, that seems fine. And then I wanted to do a week in review, just sort of what's happened in the last week, if you guys have anything that you have thought of. But I was watching this replay of the 1991 World Series, the Twins versus the Braves. It goes to 10 innings, and it was a 0-0 game. Jack Morris pitched all 10 innings. And there's this incredible moment where Dan Gladden gets a broken bat single, and he will end up being the tying run. But it was so funny because the announcer says, "Hey, we all know about the catch. Maybe in 20 years we'll be remembering this as the bat." And I was like, nope, not at all. How great is that? It was so great because at the moment it's legit. It's game seven of a World Series. He gets on base with a weird broken bat single. Just hearing that and to hear it basically be like, oh yeah, this is a huge moment in baseball history we'll all be talking about, and to just see it 30 years later and be like, no, nobody ever, it didn't even last a year, like that was the only mention of quote unquote the bat. Anyway, I thought that was hilarious. Moving on, unless you guys have something to add for the week in review.
I've been enjoying watching all of the various leagues and their attempts at esports and having the players play the games against each other in the iRacing League. It's been fascinating, you know, again, trying to have a little humor during this ridiculous time, watching all these different leagues try to do these different things with esports has been fun. Both, you know, legit fun and some cringeworthy moments and a couple of career ruining moments as well. So that's fun. But again, it's interesting to see, you know, how people are trying to keep engaged with their fans during this stuff using things like video games that, let's face it, a lot of people look at video games and go, "What? What's that? That's weird. I don't get it."
Yeah. Like, I wonder if Joe Madden's playing OOTP right now and he's got the Angels at, like, you know, like 31 and 12.
I will neither confirm nor deny that many major league clubs are currently using Out of the Park Baseball 21 to do strategies.
Wow. I'm going to confirm that for you right now. TJ, what anything in the last week you've been dealing with besides being like, God, I have to wash dishes again. I hate cooking at home. This sucks.
First off, I don't cook, so I have to do the dishes. I have since Sports Anomaly has been gone for so long, I now have a 4.5-year-old child.
Holy crap. See, you forgot about it. Right before you had that child, you're like, man, maybe the Sports Anomaly will come back and I'll have something to live for. Then you have a kid and you're like, oh, this will work. And now it's 4.5 years later. That's great. Well timed by us.
And now he's playing Forza Horizon 4. He's really loving it, but he just wants me to keep changing cars all the time. And now every truck that I have in that game has a Jurassic Park paint job on it because that's the only thing he wants to see driving around.
That's amazing. I love it. I mean, dinosaurs are bleeping awesome. And when you're that age, man, I love dinosaurs when I was that age. I think I kind of still do, but I think Jurassic Park gave the game away. I was like, yeah, I don't know. Now I can see them. They're not as fantastical, but yeah, pretty great stuff. You know, the movie Tree of Life features dinosaurs, which people who haven't seen it, I love that movie. We're not going to get into, you know, that cinema. But moving on, we've got two more segments. We're three. First of all, and this is going way longer than it ever should have, but that's okay. So I've been playing Pokemon Go embarrassingly. I had to write a story for Glixel for the Rolling Stone thing, I think it was. And that was, that shows how far, how many years ago I started. I think it was 2016, 2017. But now there are Pokemon Go battles where you pick three different Pokemon, three different classes, whatever. And so mindlessly in the last 2 months, I've just been like hitting my phone playing these battles. But here's the question I have for you. I'm going to start with you, TJ. Three different athletes from three different sports. You get to pick whoever you want, and it will define you as a person for the rest of your life. Just so you know, my fiance, she picked Serena Williams, Megan Rapinoe, and The Rock, which was a very surprising choice because I just told her about the People's Elbow when she was so enchanted by it. TJ, pick your three athletes.
Actually, I'm surprised that she didn't go with like a Rapinoe-Sue Bird combo to get like that double whatever Pokemon tag team fighting is.
I don't know if that exists, but now I'm going to have to dig deeper into the game, which makes me mad at you. But
I feel like there's Pokemon games. I don't know about Pokemon Go, but I feel like there's games where you can have two doing something, maybe? I don't know. I got the Duo and the Dugtrio.
Sounds totally possible. You just have to play for 4 years like a total jerk like I have. All right, pick your athletes. Quit trying to dodge.
Okay, so my team.
Three athletes,
three different sports. I essentially made the Monstars, but of human beings. So I'm going to go shortest to tallest.
Great.
Does that work for you?
First up,
6'6", no longer a sports entertainment athlete, now just a regular athlete. We're going with Rob Gronkowski.
Great choice.
Especially with the spike. That's definitely, right. That's the move right there. That's critical every time.
Right.
Then at 6'7", I'm going with Aaron Judge. I don't know what kind of move he would have, but he's also big and strong and probably mess up people.
Yeah.
And then I think, I don't know how, if you're picking three people from any sport, I don't know how Giannis isn't one of the three, because he's 6'11". According to this basketball reference, he plays every single position. And he's just only starting his career, so he's going to be amazing. He's going to evolve as they do in Pokemon.
I like it. I'm interested in this because when I sort of posed the question, I wasn't thinking of them actually battling, but you've done the hard work of digging into these people actually fighting to win, and you've picked a pretty impressive trio. Rich, let's see how you pick this.
So this was pretty easy for me because when I think of my three, three of my favorite athletes, they come to mind pretty quickly. Number one, Kenny Danico. He played defense for the New Jersey Devils for many, many, many years. He started with them.
Yeah. Number three.
That's exactly right. He started with them when they were terrible. He never had any front teeth, and he stuck with them, one team, his entire career, all the way through winning three Stanley Cups and then retiring. Never scored a goal. Actually, that's not true. He scored a few goals, but years would go by between when he scored a goal. But he was still out there every single night, game after game after game, and is in the Devils Hall of Fame, and his number has been raised to the banner. Love Kenny Danico. Love what he's about. He was the epitome of just grinding it out to an amazing career. Number two.
What an amazing choice, by the way. You don't know what you're going to get with this question. And so far, TJ's nailed it in a totally different way that you're nailing it. And I cannot wait to find out who's going to chase Ken Danico on your team.
Well, the kid, Gary Carter, when I was in my formative years watching the New York Mets, when he came to the Mets in 1985, that was the final piece of the puzzle. And I distinctly remember hearing a radio commercial in 1985, WFAN, the greatest radio station that ever was. Gary
Let's
Carter's
go,
like,
Mets.
F-A-N. He said, this is Gary Carter of the soon-to-be world champion New York Mets. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I just heard that. And guess what? A year later, that's exactly what he did. And he was always smiling, always happy. Nobody loved playing baseball more than Gary Carter. Nobody loved doing the dirty work of being a catcher, the roughest, toughest job in baseball. And yet he always had a smile on his face. He was always nice to fans. He was the greatest. He's my favorite Met. He's my favorite baseball player, the great Gary Carter, the kid.
Amazing. I do remember Gary Carter. I think it was in 1986. It was a game where I just remember this little moment where he was catching, obviously, and he like backhanded a ball, and then he acted like it was a wild pitch, And then everybody knew it wasn't. He hadn't covered up. But he just, like, turned around and, like, laughed and smiled, like, it was worth a shot. And it was just such a charming moment. I just loved it so much. Okay, who's your third?
My third, I'm a Jersey guy, Jersey all the way. The New Jersey Nets, you know, again, when I was growing up, that was my team. I'm still sort of technically a Brooklyn Nets fan. You know, they didn't move that far away, but they dropped the Jersey moniker. But Buck Williams, it did not matter. It did not matter. You picked up the newspaper, which is what we did back then. You look at the box score of any New Jersey Nets game with Buck Williams. He had 7 points, 39 rebounds, and 4 assists. Every single game. How did that guy get those rebounds every single game? It was unbelievable. Buck Williams was a box score god with the rebounds. He was my favorite Net.
There is this thing that somebody told me at a bar like 20 years ago. They're like, yeah, it's like a Google whack. You Google something that's never been Googled before, and then it'll come up as like the, like there's no other results. And him and his friends used to play this game. And I remember hearing that. I was like, that's so dumb and not fun at all. But hearing your trio, like in a simulation, there's 7 billion people on the planet, and you have picked 3 athletes that no one else will ever pick in together, and it feels really good. It feels very much like this podcast is alive and well in episode 1/164. Okay, that's just an amazing trio of athletes. I feel like I should rethink my entire plan, but I'm just going to go with it. Javier Baez is my first pick. And in terms of like TJ's warring mentality about this, as he should be, his Pokemon Go battle, which I've abandoned that concept, but he could just tag the shit out of people. And I guess I should, are we cussing on this podcast? I was trying not to, but now I guess we are. But he would just tag people fiercely and just crush them with a tag. He's the most exciting baseball player, I think, in the league. There's probably one or two other close, but he, for me, I just love watching him play. My second would be Kylian Mbappe, the France / Paris Saint-Germain star. I love the French soccer team. He's young and he's just so exciting, and he can run circles around anybody, feels like. And then my third is sort of a Rich level choice, but I went to the French Open when I was living in Paris. I went to the French Open because my friend was working at the Tennis Channel, so she used to just give me tickets, and I would go and sit up in the upper deck and just watch the French Open. It was great. I would read, I would watch, I would just stare at people. And there was this one match I saw that was Gael Monfils, who's my third choice, and he was against Robert Fognini. And it was getting dark. And so Fognini was sort of winning, and it was a bummer because Gael Monfils reminds me of when Tim Tebow was the Broncos quarterback, where literally every play was going to probably be a screen pass for 1 to -2 yards, or it was going to be a sack or whatever. It was just going to be a disaster, or it was going to be like an 80-yard play. And so like you had to like hold your breath because it was always going to be exciting. And Monfils was on the verge of losing, and it was getting dark, so they were like, should we call the match or not? But all of a sudden the crowd was just like, no, let's not shut it down, like it's getting dark, but so what, keep playing. And it gave Monfils this energy, and he would yell like, allez Gaël, like to himself. And then the crowd was going nuts, and it was France, and he's French, so they were so on board. And then Fognini started to collapse, and then he like walked off because he was like, no, it's too dark to play. And then the crowd was like booing, and then the judge penalized Fognini a point, and then Gaël Monfils like was hammering him, but then it finally got dark and they had to call the match. But Monfils had come back, and it was all exciting. And then the next day they finished the match at like 10 a.m. and Gaël Monfils got crushed. But it was, it sort of set me up to love Gaël Monfils, and I've rooted for him ever since. And he never stops disappointing, but he's like
close, right? Didn't he come close to winning a French Open once or twice, or am I missing that?
This last year he did really well, and he was like close to the semis, which was like his Super Bowl. And of course then he collapsed. All right. Moving on to our feature segment, baseball is sort of back. The one way that we've had baseball is video games. So here's what I'm going to do. We're going to play a little game. So the Taiwanese Baseball League, which is actually the Taiwan's Chinese Professional Baseball League. It came back, and that's why, Rich, I wrote you, because I was like, oh man, I'm obsessed with this league. I've been watching on Twitter live games. I need baseball. Then you got in touch about OTP. We're going to take teams from the Taiwan's Chinese Professional Baseball League, teams from Korea's KBO League, teams from Super Mega Baseball 3, and teams I've made up. And I'm going to ask you to figure out which is the fake name amongst. I'm going to pull one from each, and we're just going to give this a go. Okay, here we go. Brothers, Heroes, Crocodons, Flapjacks. Rich, which is the fake team?
I'm going to go with the Brothers as the fake team.
TJ.
I'm going to go with the Flapjacks.
TJ, 1 point for TJ.
Yeah. Oh, I thought Flapjacks was a brothers. I thought that was a Super Mega Baseball team, no doubt.
Sounds like
darn it.
Okay, 1-0 TJ. Now we're going into point number two. TJ, you'll be giving your answer first. Monkeys, Handbat, Sirloins, or Phalanges?
What was the second one?
Handbat. The Daejeon Handbat. Sorry. Might give something away.
I'm going to go with the Phalanges.
Okay, Rich.
Well, I'm not allowed to make the same choice as
you
TJ.
You can make the same choice. No, you can make the same choice.
Because I was... Phalanges was my choice. So I'm going to stick with
you
it.
Sure?
If I'm
able to. You're going to go with Phalanges?
I am.
Over the Daejeon Handbat.
Yeah.
Just ask it. Okay. You're both right. It is the Phalanges. The Daejeon Handbat is actually a stadium in Korea, but I just thought it sounded enough like a team. Okay. Rich, you answer first now. The Lions, the Wyverns, the Moonstars, the Dongs.
Oh, it's definitely Moonstars. No doubt. No doubt in my mind. There's no way that you would put Dongs in there unless it was actually correct. A real
TJ.
I think it's the Dongs.
Man, TJ, you nailed it. It is the Dongs. I can't believe it. I thought I could sneak it past someone, and I did, Rich. Dongs would be an amazing team name because it's like a donger, a dong, like a home run. But I don't think donger is a term in that way. Okay, TJ, you're up 2-1. It's late in the game. There are two more rounds.
It's 3-1, but it's all right.
We're not gonna quibble. It's 2-1 by my horrible skin. I guess this is 2-0 because you guys tied. Okay, here we go. Rich, Guardians, Wiz, Sawteeth, Goldfinches.
Okay, I'm going to go.
They all sound like fake names.
I know. I'm going Guardians. Guardians.
Okay. And you, TJ, what are you going to go with?
I don't know if he's right, so I feel like the safe move is just to pick the same one that he said.
Wow. Play it safe. Greg Ford is in you. Yeah. This is like the Jedi Greg Ford is, don't you?
I like Guardians. I feel like that might be real. Say them again.
Guardians, Wiz, Sawteeth, Goldfinches.
I'm going to go with the Man of Finchery and go with the Goldfinches.
Man, TJ is amazing at this game.
I knew he'd be good at this because he knows all these teams. Ooh. He knows all of them.
Guardians are actually my Taiwanese baseball team. The ones I love the most, but you know, who knows?
Also an XFL team. So.
Oh, really?
Well, formerly now, I guess, an XFL team.
The Goldfinches is a reference to the Pulitzer Prize winning novel, The Goldfinch by Donna Tartt. Okay, final one. Rich, this is for 15 points, and you're losing by 14 points. Let's see what happens. Right. And you can't pick the same one. Okay. The Wide Loads, the Dinos, the Washouts, or the Rhinos?
It's got to be Wide Loads. It's too funny to be anything other than Wide Loads.
TJ, are you going to play it safe, or are you going to pick a different one?
I'm going to take the Washouts.
It is the Washouts.
Unbelievable.
I realized I was saying the wrong one last every time, which was giving it away, which TJ, I think, figured out. And so I mixed it up, but he still got the Washouts.
He went China, Korea, Super Mega Baseball, and then the wrong one.
I went Taiwan. Yeah, China, Korea, Super Mega. Yeah, that's exactly. You figured out the system. But Phalanges, Flapjacks, Dongs, and Goldfinches and Washouts versus the Sirloins, Crocodons, Moons, Sawteeth, and Wide Loads. It feels like maybe I should have done Mega Baseball versus fake. But I mean, are you kidding me? The Heroes, the Wyverns, the Wiz, and the Dinos. Like, Dinos you can buy into, and Heroes, okay.
But have you seen Taiwan, the Dinos mascot?
No.
Oh, great. I think his name's like Swole Daddy.
Oh my God. By the way, I'm so glad you brought this up. One of the most disturbing things about watching Taiwanese baseball was that one of the logo or one of the mascots is a fish, right? But it's just the fish head. And then when he's dancing around and you're like, oh good, he's wearing a mask. That feels right. And then he turns and you realize it's a decapitated fish because it's just a fish head to eat. Which, by the way, is delicious. I've eaten fish head in China. And then, for like 4 days, certain things are happening to my digestive system. But it was delicious in the moment. Okay. You guys are almost off the hook here. But I do want to ask. Somebody wrote me and said, what are the best TV shows since The Wire? And so this is the Netflix minute. I should present it that way. It made me wonder, do you think Breaking Bad is better than Better Call Saul or vice versa? And you guys might not have watched either, making you terrible people in one case. But I just wondered, what do you think?
I'm going to toss it to TJ for this one.
Yeah, Mr. 17 to nothing.
So this is a very tough question, because without Breaking Bad, the first couple seasons of Better Call Saul don't really make any sense. But I'm going off the board and taking Better Call Saul. Two reasons. Lalo, Tony Dalton, is an amazing actor, and I will literally watch anything that he's going to be in the future. Ray Seahorn, who plays Kim Wexler, has got me so interested in her acting abilities that I do want to go back and watch the sequel to Inside Man with Clive Owen. Inside Man Most Wanted came out last year, and I want to check that out. I heard it's absolutely terrible, but she's a very good actress, so I would like to go watch it and see her performance in that.
One of my Twitter highlights was that she liked one of my tweets, and I feel really good about it. It was about Better Call Saul, and it was about me saying that one of the magic elements... Rich, you probably haven't watched Better Call Saul, but you have seen Breaking Bad, yes?
The opposite. I'm a huge Bob Odenkirk fan. He's a genius, and almost everything he does I really like, so I lean heavily towards Better Call Saul because of that. And these aren't my favorite shows, but that's just, you know, because I tend to like happier stuff. But yeah, it's Bob Odenkirk can do no wrong in my book.
Man, that's amazing. Yeah, for me, the thing that got Ray to approve of my tweet was that I said that the magic of Better Call Saul is we do not know what happens to her. Mm-hmm. And so we're always on edge because we think she could die. She could. And then there's this one thing I thought of, which is like, oh, she could be alive through Breaking Bad and just be in the background because we see so little of Saul. So it, like, I'm just like, I'm blown away by that character evolving and just what's going to happen. I think these people are about to start drilling into the house I'm living in. So we're going to go shortly. But is there one show or one TV show, one film you would recommend for people to watch during this weird time? Rich.
I really got a kick out of Russian Doll. I don't know if you saw that or not.
Love it. Yeah, it's great.
It took me a little while. It's the kind of show like I have an attitude nowadays where it wasn't that long ago where if I didn't get hooked by a show very quickly, I'd bail. I gave it like 3 episodes, and by the end of the 3rd episode, I was like, all right, I'm good. I'm in. This has got me, and I'm glad I did because I even liked the ending. It's hard to like endings of shows these days. I even liked the ending. To me, it's Russian Doll. It's one season, 10 episodes. It's weird, different, freaky. Don't even know exactly why things are happening. But yeah, Russian Doll is my answer.
Yeah, it's fantastic. What about you, TJ?
One season, 10 episodes is definitely not enough in these trying times that we are living in. So I'm going with a small, little-known show on the HBO network called Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Ah, great choice.
I just completed season 9, and I just kicked off season 10. I've been laughing quite loud. I've woken some people up.
What season is it right now? Is 10 the current season?
Yeah, they just wrapped up 10.
Okay, because I'm like halfway through that season. Got it.
I agree with Larry too much. I feel like that's probably a character flaw in me, but it's a really good show.
Yeah, it's I just watched season 10. I rewatched Community because I realized I hadn't seen the last 3 seasons, but it was my probably my favorite show at the time. That was great. But if I'm going to recommend something, I'm going to recommend a movie, because I think you are right. We should all watch as much of everything. And if you do need a TV show, just watch Fargo and you'll be blown away left and right. But what I've decided to recommend is a movie called Force Majeure. It's a, I guess, Swedish film from, I think, 2014. It was just remade as Downhill with Will Ferrell and Julia Louis-Dreyfus, which I think is a very peculiar choice. But it is basically, the premise is this family goes on a ski vacation and there's this avalanche that starts tumbling down, and the father gets up and runs for his life, leaving his wife and kids behind. And then they realize it was just like a normal thing that happens, where they've set off like loud things to make sure that the snow tumbles down and that there's not really an avalanche. And so the whole movie is based on the fact that the father ran away in this key moment and just like kind of the fallout for that. The dude from Game of Thrones is in it. The dude with the red curly hair who's massive. He's incredible. The whole show, or the whole movie, is amazing. And it's so tense in a way that you can't even imagine. And it's hilarious, but not in like a laugh out loud way, but just kind of like, oof, wow. So that's my recommendation. Finally. It's time for the final segment of the show, the Patreon Power Hour. We're trying to fund the show through Patreon, patreon.com/sportsanomaly. If you give us $5,000 or
$5,000, $5,000.
Well, I think so here's what I would say. I don't care if you donate or not. Just go to patreon.com/sportsanomaly and look at the pictures I put to each of the categories. I think I did do one for $1,000 or $5,000, which was just to be totally ludicrous. But yeah, this is, we're going to keep doing this. So if you support it, that would be huge, because then we can eat tacos. But that's it. That's our first show in 10 years, almost to the day, by the way. May 29th was the last episode of Sports Anomaly, and this will air sometime in the next week. But Rich, TJ, thank you so much for hopping on. Keep busting your butts on OOTP. It's such a fantastic game, and I'm so in love with it. And yeah, that's it.